Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown, brought to you by the good folks at TickPick.com. Who, by going to TickPick.com/breakdown, will meet you with a $10 offer for your first purchase on the website when you use them to buy tickets for any sporting event or concert, whatever you would like to do. If you're going to the Browns game Sunday, perhaps you want to turn the page like everybody else, go watch and play the Lions, get $10 off your first use. Again, TickPick.com/breakdown, TickPick.com, the original no-fee site, where if you do happen to find a cheaper seat on another site, they will match that difference up to 110%. So take advantage of the offer at TickPick.com/breakdown. Get your cheap tickets today. So I have zero desire to spend a lot of time talking about this game. And if somebody sits here to tell you that they have all the answers for a 45-7 beating that the Browns suffered in New England, then they're probably lying to you, in my opinion, because there were so many things that went wrong in this game. It's hard to really put it into words right now. The film must be consumed, and the grades will be released, and it'll be ugly, and I don't really have a ton to say about the statistics, other than there's one pretty defining statistic if you look at it. And it really is a statistic that speaks to the whole season for the Cleveland Browns. On third down in this game, they were 1 of 11 on their own side. Whenever the Browns get to third down this season, they have been pretty putrid among other teams. I don't have the ranking right now, and I'll give that to you in the offense podcast, but they are nightmarish when it comes to third and long scenarios. You know, that feeling in your stomach when it's third and seven or more, when the Browns are on offense, that's not good. And it definitely is indicative of the big problem going on with the Cleveland offense, that if they can't do what they did on the first drive, which is run for 60 yards and sprinkle in a couple of designed open play action plays, they are not consistent at gaining yardage through the air. And it's a problem, and it's disappointing on so many levels. I mean, the Browns get to their second possession after the 11-play, 84-yard drive to open the game. Their second possession, third and seven, intercepted. Terrible read by the quarterback, terrible throw. Intercepted, returned all the way down to the Cleveland 5-yard line, next play, touchdown. And it goes on and on. Right? This goes on and on. It is not an isolated situation here. When you go 1 for 11, it's because you can't convert any third down that involves actually pushing the football downfield. The Browns go for 217 yards to 452 for New England. 58 plays to 62. That's all cool and stuff to have a high volume of plays. But Cleveland went for 3.7 yards per play. It's by far their worst of the season, to 7.3 by New England. Net rushing yards, by far the most yards given up on the ground for Cleveland this year, is they gave up 184 total. 20 carries, 100 yards, two touchdowns for Ramondre Stevenson. Kendrick Bourne, 3 carries, 43 yards on reverses. Bolden, 3 carries, 32 yards. J.J. Taylor, 6 carries, 11 yards. And Brian Hoyer took a couple knees for -2. Passing yards, 268 to 118. Yes, the Cleveland Browns threw for 118 yards. Neither of their quarterbacks topped 100 yards. Case Keenum, obviously doing mock-up duty, went for 81 yards. And Baker Mayfield went 11 of 21 for 73 yards with a touchdown and an interception. The highlight of the game is clearly the Browns' opening 84-yard drive, which Dearness Johnson got three-fourths of his rushing yards in that time. He ends up going 19 for 99. I thought he played really hard. Kudos to him. He's definitely an NFL running back. He's a fun player. He actually ended up catching the most passes. He had 8 targets. He had 7 catches for 58 yards. So he even did the large portion of the work in the passing game. Penalties were 6-6, one turnover for Cleveland. We just talked about the crippling turnover. Four punts for the Browns, only one for New England. Six New England touchdowns to one from Cleveland, including also a field goal for New England. And time of possession, 34 minutes for New England and 25 minutes for Cleveland. So, Jarvis Landry, four catches for 26. Austin Hooper, four for 25. Harrison Bryant, two for 18. Donovan Peoples-Jones, one for 16. David Njoku, one for 11.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I don't know what the answer is on offense. It's I'm seen as this residential hater of the quarterback. Clearly, Kevin Stefanski is a smart dude. I think he's a very intelligent offensive mind, and I think he can put together plans that can work. I have to watch the tape. I hate to say that, but there were just, it was just a miserable effort. Did he give up on the run? I don't think so. Joel Bitonio came out after the game and even mentioned it. There was a lot of shots thrown at the coaches from Myles Garrett saying that we're not making changes on the sideline. And when we had extended periods of time, which I think would include halftime, they weren't making changes. Joel Bitonio kind of, in a way, referenced the fact of how they came out on their first drive and then their second drive, they struggled and moving forward. The second drive, they run on first down for 3 yards, throw the next two. And if you run on second and seven, you get the angry people tweeting about running on second and long. Then third down, they throw a terrible interception. It's 14-7. Come back out, throw for two first downs, run. So you throw two plays, two first downs, throwing. Cool, great. Then they run on second down and 10 and get nothing, 2 yards. And then they throw an incomplete on third down. They punt, and all of a sudden it's 21-7. And you have to play catch-up. But all I'm going to say is this. If you're afraid of throwing the football, you don't think your offense can have success throwing the football, then that's all you need to know about the person involved in throwing the football. You don't have faith in Baker Mayfield. It's okay to admit that. He's not playing well. He's very limited as a quarterback right now. He's unwilling to run. He's unwilling to take hits right now in terms of he's afraid in the pocket of getting hit. It's like if the pass is wide open, he'll throw it. Otherwise, there's no creation out of the pocket. There's no sneaking yards in quarterback scramble. There's none of that. And when you mix in a guy who's inaccurate and makes poor decisions, then you get 11 of 21 for 73 yards in an NFL football game. I cannot express how bad that is, how bad he was today. And you can blame Kevin Stefanski, and it's the scheme's fault. And I think you got to really look in the mirror about who's trying to do things within the scheme. You can abandon Kevin Stefanski. I think it's like you want Alex Van Pelt to call plays. He's called plays once in his life. Back in his Buffalo days, like a decade ago, he called a championship game where they were fine. But like, if you want him to call plays, that's cool. If you want Kevin Stefanski to give up the thing he was hired to do, I guess that's cool, man. I guess it's cool. I can't ignore the quarterback play. Like, he is supposed to lift your team up in crisis. Like, your quarterback is supposed to be the reason you overcome not having your top two running backs. He's not doing any of that. And if the shoulder's too hurt to play, then sit. But if you're playing, then you're supposed to be the guy making those things happen. That's why you want to be a $30 million quarterback. I don't think it needs to even be said. I don't know what, if you don't see it, I don't know what you're watching. They're playing a different game right now. I mean, Mac Jones only threw for 198, but he was 19 of 23, decisive, accurate, stood in the pocket, delivered among some chaos, 3 touchdowns for him. It was night and day different. It was night and day different, man. And that's just like, if you realistically are watching the Browns offense when they're not running the football well. Again, against the Bengals, they got a pick six and they jumped out early and they ran the football well. If they don't run the football well, and Cleveland was obviously after the first possession not running the football well, then it falls on the quarterback to make plays, and he's not making any plays that make the team better. He is a take what's there and sometimes not even taking what's there quarterback. He's not creating. He doesn't throw into tight windows enough. He had a great game last week, but look at the situation. They were out in front almost all game. It's the career thing here now. When has Baker, more than like 2 times in your thought process, he doesn't lift them up when everything around him is not going perfectly. I hope he can figure it out. They're stuck with him, man. They got him another year. The rest of this year, into next year, he's already committed to the $18 million next year. I don't know what they'll do. You can blame whoever you want to blame. I thought the offense, everybody was bad today. I didn't think anybody rose to the occasion. And I'm talking the defense too, which was just miserable. John Johnson, I've tried to support him all year. I really can't defend anything he did in that game today. It was terrible coverage, terrible run fits. I don't know, guys. I got to break it down. I know the defense played terrible point of attack football in terms of they seemed to pack it in after the first few drives where they couldn't get a stop on third and long, and then they were over pursuing and missing tackles and not reading reverses and not feeling out screens. Joe Woods has some serious questions to answer why the talent, which is so talented on that side of the ball, is not consistently playing better football. And the third down thing is their biggest issue. Now, they've given up 14, 15, 16 in the last 3 weeks. They've been fine. They've been pretty solid, pretty good. But this is what I'm saying. They're yo-yoing. The defense goes up and down, man. It's a roller coaster with this group. They'll have these 3 great weeks and a terrible week that costs them a game. And that's why they're 5-5. You know, they let games slip away that they should have won earlier in the year, and that's why you're not 7-3 and you're 5-5. So, listen, we could go to one extreme to the other, and I get it, off-the-cuff stuff here with a knee-jerk reaction. I'm really not trying to do that. My feelings have not changed on Baker Mayfield in terms of the elevation aspect of the quarterback. I think Baker can play well when he's in perfect situations in a pocket, when he comes off play action clean and the read is very defined, and when he doesn't have to lift up the players around him, meaning throw into tight windows consistently to beat coverage or outsmart a defense by audibling or throwing hot or deducing how they're playing coverage and manipulating the pocket to get where he needs to go to throw the football. He doesn't do that stuff. If he ever does, I think at this point I will be surprised. So the question then begs, can you win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield? I don't know. Maybe. All I know is that Super Bowl winning teams don't lose 45-7 in New England in a game that really dictated a lot of their playoff future. 71% was the number you could have gotten up to, or high 60s if you won this game for playoff probability. They knew that. You're down in the 30s for playoff probability now, and you really got handed to you in this game. This was never close. It was 24-7 at half, and the Patriots did whatever they wanted to the rest of the game, and there was a whole lot of quit going on. And then you hear a whole lot of comments after the game kind of pinpointing coaches as the scapegoats for what happened. And listen, it could be the coaches. Kevin, it's ultimately on Kevin Stefanski when his team shows up and lays an egg. And they've laid multiple eggs this season. They've done this three. I consider the Pittsburgh game, I consider the Arizona game, and I consider this game. All three have been games that have told me this team is nowhere near as consistent as a team needs to be to go where they think they're going or we think they could go. So, you know, I get it. You know, Buffalo loses to Jacksonville last week. You never get too high. You never get too low. But I was disgusted by it. I'm sure you were as fans. You should have been. And you can wash it away and do whatever you want to do. But the data is 10 weeks of data now. And they don't have any receiver trending for over 600 yards. They're not a functionable throwing football team. Even when Baker was playing so well last week, they didn't even get to 250 yards. They don't throw the football well. And in the modern game, you cannot rely on running backs to carry the burden. You have got to throw the football downfield, make plays, and it's not happening. Could you consider, you could make, again, you can make whatever excuse you want. I praised Baker Mayfield for his play last week, but the points about Baker are very, very obvious, and they have not changed for a while. Can he elevate when the team around him suffers? Because that is what quarterbacks have to do when they go from eating 10 to 15 million in cap when their rookie deal to all of a sudden being up to $35 million in their next contract, because that takes away a playmaker or two. That takes away an offensive lineman or two, and you have to then elevate everybody else.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I don't see it. I'm not trying to be a residential Baker Mayfield hater. I'm just telling you I don't see it. I want to be proven wrong. His shoulder's jacked up. That's cool. But the guy is 4 years deep in data, and this 10-week data of your Cleveland Browns, it's like, yeah, it's one law. You can ignore all the stuff all you want, but this team is not where we thought they would be after 10 weeks. And even if they were 6-4 right now, maybe not 5-5, the holes are obvious here. There are problems that need fixed from the top to the bottom, and I don't know if that can happen in the last 7 weeks of the NFL season. We will see. I will watch the tape over the next 2 days. I will try to inform you on what I see. As of right now, I am not encouraged. I don't know how you could be encouraged. If you're a super optimistic person and you say, hey, I can wad this game up and throw it away and never think about it, I still think they're on the path to the playoffs, I still got optimism about the offense, I think they're going places still. They get Nick Chubb back, and they probably get back Kareem Hunt in the next few weeks. But again, there lies the bigger issue. You have to have running backs, these running backs, to make your offense any kind of respectable. So the formula is for the Cleveland Browns, you get up early and you have to be up. If you're not up, if you're not leading, if you fall behind at all, it's over. To have two quarterbacks combined for 118 yards, one of which your starter go 11 of 21 for 73, it feels like a bygone era of football. That's what it feels like. They had no ability to throw the football on New England today. They were outplayed. They were outcoached. And that's so unacceptable because New England is, they're still at New England. They always find a way to play with the sum is larger than the individual parts. I don't know how Cleveland fixes it. They have clear talent. They don't seem to consistently week to week translate. And that's what they're talking about. That's what Kevin's talking about. They do not translate any consistency. And it comes down to the leadership in charge of both aspects, from the position group coaches to the coordinators to the head coach. They have to be better. I'm not trying to fire people. I'm just saying you got to be held responsible when your team does this. And that's, you know, you can get kind of granular and study the ins and outs. I think the offense is pretty clearly being held back in how they have to structure it. But, you know, the defense is a problem too. They're not responding. And the players, the leadership, this falls on the leaders in the locker room, man. This kind of effort is, it's just very disappointing. And I hope they feel the disappointment that you feel, how I feel. And I don't know, maybe it motivates them the rest of the way. I'm tired of saying that. I'm tired of saying this could be a turning point game or this could be a game that launches them. Who knows? They're unexpected. They're last week we thought they would roll into the Bengals game with all those distractions and lay an egg. They wouldn't be very good. This week you feel like they could be good, even though they lost Nick to COVID and all that. You still thought they were gonna, I thought they were gonna win this game. And to show up and do that is like, I'm out on any expectations. Sit back and enjoy the ride and see where the big decisions go, where they end up at the end of the season, into the offseason. I don't have any expectations anymore because they don't give you a chance to have expectations for them. So I'm disappointed, and we'll try to lay context over the next few days with the All-22 film and try to figure out where it all went wrong. Maybe you care, maybe you don't. We'll do Monday Rewind on Twitch. Check that out. That'll give you some more insight as I watch it throughout the day tomorrow. We'll do Chalk Talk on Tuesday. It will be an absolutely miserable session doing Chalk Talk, but I encourage you to check it out if you can. And Wednesday we will do the OBR Weekly and all that fun stuff. So still trying to get to 1,000 subscribers on Twitch by Thanksgiving. Don't know if that's going to happen because we lost a lot of momentum and feel good with the team and their current state of play today. But yeah, we would still love to do that. There's an Amazon Prime option for you. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can just split that. Doesn't mean any more money out of your pocket. You just split what you give to Amazon and it goes to us. And we would be greatly appreciative of that. Thank you for subscribing, downloading, and all of the things you do for this podcast. Again, we'll get more detail-oriented over the next few days. Nobody has all the answers right now. Have to watch the game over. Have to have the right angles to understand it. I promise to get there for you. Have a great Monday, if you can. Sucky Monday from a football perspective, but hopefully a great personal life situation on Monday for you. Hey, we still believe the ultimate goal is to get to the playoffs. Could happen. I don't know if it will. Don't feel great about it, but they could. So if you're trying to find some optimism, this might not be the great podcast for you, but it's still in front of them. They can still get there. So, you know, we'll close with our usual, guys. Have a great Monday, and go Browns.